Lord, did anybody connect with the Lord just now? Just, cool. It's not a reflection on me or Pietro or the guys. It's just the culture that we need to run after hard is that the presence of God changes us. Not the way the church is set up. Not the color orange, even. Not the big vision that anybody should be chasing. But God Himself in our midst. He changes us. He changed me. And I guess He changed a couple of you guys. And man, I just, when we started to worship, then when Petri just started to sing at the beginning, it was just, man, I really honestly think I'm in love. You hear people say that and it sounds like a bit of a Christian cliche, I know. But I'm like, honestly, I think I'm in love. Het nou so oogies blink met jou ook, liefie, jy weet het. Yeah. The Lord is faithful. Apologies for our projector. I actually have Knight's note. I wanted to WhatsApp it now to all the groups that you guys can send it on and check it on your phones. And I realized the copy that's still on here has one or two mistakes that I quickly this morning fixed up. So I'm not going to send it out to you. I'll WhatsApp it this afternoon that you can check that I'm not talking nonsense. I actually had a nice illustration there. But anyway, so be it. I'm going to pray briefly. The message is entitled today, The Father Heart, Bridging the Gap. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was also preaching about the Father's heart, and we quickly stopped and said, if I say the Father Heart of God, what comes up in your emotions? What comes up in your heart? What do you believe if I say the Father Heart of God? It's such a potent and necessary question to now and again ask yourself, what do I actually believe about God? In other words, what's my theology? What do I believe about this God? Is He a good Father? Can I just sing it, mime it, fake it? Or do I believe it here in my heart? Do I see Him? Have I seen the testimonies of this good Father in my life? Let's pray. Father God, may our faith not be based on my words, but Your Holy Spirit and power. Holy Spirit, please come in a mighty way this morning and come and shake, come and touch, come and stir, come and fire up hearts this morning in Jesus' name. I just ask for Your grace to come and fire up our hearts this morning. Come and touch our hearts deeply. Lord, may You do the talking and not me. May You just touch each and every nerve that You need to touch. May You have Your way. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 2 weeks back, I quickly shared on the Father Heart of God. And building upon on that, I said God is the God that knows. In other words, He knows you. He knows your identity. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. He knows your future. He knows your past. He forgets most of that, the sinful part, the word says. But He knows you. And then not only that, He knows situations. This morning I was heading to set up, and for no other reason would I have ever taken my wallet, and I just sent, grab your wallet as well. So I get here, and on my way out, Albert says, hey, het jy batterye gekry? Did you get batteries? And I'm like, no, I didn't know I had to get batteries. But something very simple like that, in just knowing, oh, thank God, I actually took my wallet this morning, so it wasn't such a big schlep. Which sounds like a pretty normal thing, but that is just being connected with the Holy Spirit and listening to the voice of the Lord that knows. And the Lord that knows lives inside of you. We need not walk in darkness if we walk in intimacy. We need not walk in darkness if we walk in intimacy with the Lord, obviously. And so Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, we said 2 weeks ago, says the following, for I am the God and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Who believes God will accomplish all His purpose? If we look with the eyes of the flesh to this world, we might think, oh, chata patata, Lord. It might take a while. But He's all-knowing, perfect God. And so we just stopped at at asking the Lord and trusting Him to speak into our hearts. Now, my heart is always to know what is the Lord saying to us as a church, not to just come up with a message, not just to think up something that I've done or something that I've heard or that I know, even though all of those things compiled together makes for what the Lord says to us. But I had to stop and just think and be very clear this week. And the word says in Deuteronomy, and later on it's repeated in the New Testament, every word shall be attested or proven by 2 to 3 witnesses. In other words, when God speaks, He often, most often, will send a witness. There'll be a golden thread, there'll be blips, or there'll be light bulb moments, and then God will be pulling a string, a golden thread, so that if we heed our ears, if we heed to His voice, we will hear what is He saying to us as a church. And so, after doing that sermon of the God that knows, we moved on, and Umihan preached last week. Now, the 2 to 3 witnesses that I was talking about is the following 3 things that I believe the Lord is saying to us as a congregation at the moment. It's not something necessarily that comes naturally for me, but you'll hear now that this is what I believe the Lord wants us to just focus on and just trust Him to stir our hearts. First thing is, who was here last week when Bronwyn Whittingham shared a vision in ministry time? Anybody heard that? Now, obviously last week we took off, we had a break, took a bit of a rest. But in this week I bounced with Pietri and Umihan and chatted. And then I asked for Bronwyn, just send that on to me, because I believe we need to hear what the Lord is saying as she shared the vision. I'm just going to read it. It was supposed to be up there, but just listen closely what she saw last week in ministry time. Last week at church, I saw a burning building, and there are people up there at the top looking down. So in other words, the building is burning here at the bottom, but yet there's many people in the skyscraper, I would presume, looking down, looking through the windows. It is so hard to see the net and know it's safe to jump. It's too scary. But God says, trust Him and jump into full surrender to Him. He will catch you and give you complete freedom. Freedom from yourself, freedom from anxiety and depression. He also told me to say that we are Christ's only representatives here. So here's 2 people that she's seeing. These are the people that need salvation, the people that need to jump, the people that say, I'm gonna die in this burning building if the Lord does not come through, if I don't jump. And then there's a latter people that she then refers to. He also told me to say that we are Christ's only representatives here. Say, I am Christ's representative. Yes, you sound all stoked. He also told me to say, we are all His, and got to represent Him and reconnect others to the Father. Do not be afraid to step out. Like, you know, Bronwyn's definitely not afraid. Don't let fear or anything stop you from telling people about God or prophesying or praying for people, as this is Satan trying to steal from you the kingdom of God. And so it's just beautiful how she came. She didn't know what Johan was going to pray about, and she comes up and she just shares this vision. There's people that are looking out. There are people that are scared. There are people whose lives are in danger, and who needs us? Who needs us as the representatives? So that was the first thing that the Holy Spirit just highlighted to me. I'll tie it all together now, how I believe this is what God is saying. Now, last week's sermon was quite obvious. It's unfortunately, again, not on there, because I just had a couple of pointers from Johan just preached on being a witness. In other words, being a witness for Christ, to sharing the gospel, sharing the light and the salt that we are. He referred to many things, but then he asked, how can I be a witness? How, in other words, can I extend this gospel message? 5 things were said. By being visible, in other words, connecting with people, not being a holy huddle, not being connected only with each other and only having coffee with us as a group together, but also getting in the space of people that don't know Christ yet. The second thing he said is by loving them unconditionally. In other words, loving people warts and all. Edna actually, von der Bewonder, saw something of God's mercy and grace in my life when there was nothing like that at all. She loved me unconditionally by the grace of the Lord way back when I got saved. In fact, it was probably not a very smart thing to do. Yet she could see what the Lord was seeing. And so she loved me unconditionally. My mother prayed for me unconditionally as well in that time. The third thing he said is, we can be a witness by our testimony. Who of you has got a story with the Lord? We all have a story. You've got something to share. Who's had a radical salvation? Amen. Come on, who else? Who had a radical salvation? Jenny says she's got a radical salvation. Yeah, I mean, it's not comparison. It's just some people, you just hear the story and it's like, what the? That's just radical. That is just a miracle. But we should tell these stories to one another. We need to stir that, and not only to one another, but to other people as well. Fourthly, he said, by declaring Jesus as Savior, as Healer, Deliverer, Protector, Provider. In other words, go live out who He is to you and what the Word says. And then fifth and finally, and that's where we're going to move on from, he said the fifth point was how to be a witness by trusting God for their salvation, by keeping on loving them and praying for them. Say, praying for them. Praying for them. Okay, praying for them. We can only love them, not save them, Umyan said. And I agree. We can only love people. We cannot save them. It is He that can bring salvation. Jesus saves, not man. Yes, we can be instruments. Yes, we can do a lot. Yes, we can sow. But only He can save. But remember, God can do the impossible, Umyan said. Remember these words. God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. When speaking in light of salvation, who of you can think of at least three people where you think that is impossible? That is quite frankly almost impossible. Let's say almost impossible. Come on, put up your hand. Who can think of three people and you're thinking, Lord, that would be a miracle? A couple of us. And so these two things were said. Bronwyn gave the vision quite clear. God's got salvation on his heart. He's saying, hey guys, wake up. Let's wake up again. I know most of you, the evangelists in the house, you're like, yeah, amen. Why have we been waiting so long for the sermon? But the rest of us are like, cool. No, it's just, let's just get our hearts together. Let's just get our hearts to the Lord. And so it was the vision, and then Umyan brought a word, and those aligned so beautifully. And at the beginning of the week, I said, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? What do you want to talk about today? What is on your heart? There was 10 messages going through my head the first 2 days of the week. And so the Lord... I asked the Lord, Lord, please, just speak to me. And I think it was one of the evenings, I just said, Lord, please just give me a dream. There's so many messages, so many things that I'm passionate about that I want to share, but I want to know what the vein is. I want to know what the golden thread is that the Lord is doing at the moment. And I said, Lord, please just give me a dream. I've never done this before. Please give me a dream about Sunday. Just give me a dream. And so I went to bed, slept, got up the next morning, forgot about that. And then sometime during that, I was like, I had quite vivid dreams last night. What was the dreams about? And there was one and a half that I could remember, but the one very distinctly. And I'm like, oh yes, I actually asked the Lord. And I went and I sat down and I just quickly thought about this dream. And let me share this dream with you that I then got. This is obviously in asking the Lord for just confirmation of what He's saying to us as a church. In this dream, it's like a massive Christian gathering, or gathering of people, but I know it's like, has a Christian flavor, almost a Mighty Men-ish type meeting, but there's men and women, lots of people in a big auditorium, big place, and I'm walking out almost to the back, and there's two guys standing there next to the wall, and they, and I know them, and this is where the beauty of the dream comes in. They're both family members. Family members can be family members or in-laws. I'm not going to go into detail today, but quite close. And just to give a bit of context, if you would ask me to name the five people that most likely will not get saved very easily, those would be probably the top two, or one of, or two of the top three at least, if I would have said. But anyway, long story short, as I was walking out in my dream out of the auditorium, I wasn't doing anything, I wasn't serving, I wasn't preaching, anything alike. I just saw one of them just weeping. He was just weeping. He was like folded over as he just wept. He wasn't in a row. He was just standing there at the side. And immediately my spirit realized that it was the presence of God on that guy. And that is hurt, and that's his stuff, and that's his gunk, and that's his this stony heart. That's his stuff coming out now. It's one of those, who's ever had those cries in the spirit where it hurts, but it's good. It hurts, but it's beautiful. It's difficult to explain. Anyway, as you can hear. And so he's folded over and he's crying. And I know it's the Spirit of the Lord working on him. Nobody's praying for him. Nobody's laying hands on him. Nobody's prophesying to him. He's just totally just, it's just God's presence wrecking the guy. And then right behind him, the other guy, also in the world, family member, has his one hand on him, he also crying. Not for him, but for himself as well. And so they're both just standing there and they're just weeping. They're just breaking, and I know it's the presence of the Lord doing this. And as I walk, it's typical pastor, I want to jump in. I want to say, I want to say it's all right. I want to give a word. I want to say, this is the Lord, don't worry. And as I just want to get closer, it's as if I just realize, you can't add anything to what's going on here. You'll probably just screw it up. So in my dream, I just realized, no, just stand back, just watch. In fact, I just kept on walking because God was doing a sovereign work of salvation. God was doing surgery big time. God's presence was whacking and changing a life that, I must be honest, I could not believe God would do. And there was nobody around, nobody doing anything, but it was the presence of the Lord that was doing that. So it was such a wow moment. But it was also so normal because I realized that's actually the God that I know. It was like I had a light bulb moment. I'm like, wow, but that's actually, God is pretty capable of doing that. And so that was my dream. I woke up, and then as I said, later on I remembered that. And so these three things was just very, very clear that the Lord said, I have a heart for the lost. Luke says that the Son of Man came to do what? Give me breakthrough for my car. Give me my wife. Establish my church. Did he come so that I can have my financial breakthrough right now? Did he come so that I can have a nice Christian buddy or six? Did he primarily come so that I can have a comfortable Western golf gospel American dream type of life? No, he had to just thank my heart this week just to realize the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He wants to seek them and save them. And that dream just shook me in where my heart is at concerning those that I've made up my mind about. And also what I see as breakthrough and what I see as a primary need in my life and the people around me. And so this morning, I can't do it. The Holy Spirit can. But if you say, Lord, I'm willing that you tug on my heart. I'm willing to say, Lord, just come and tug my heart again for the things that your heart burns for. Then you're welcome. I can't make that decision on your behalf. I can't live your life on your behalf either. I can just hold my heart up and say, Lord, there's areas where my heart is hardened. There's areas where my heart needs to be replugged and realigned, retuned with your heart. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 says the following. 1 Timothy, for those who tried to follow. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 says the following. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so in our Western church, we might fall into a trap, and I might have done so, and I've got many testimonies of God's breakthrough, God's blessing, God's hand in my life, and that's good. Please hear my heart. But I need to trust the Lord for more testimonies where I can see those miracles happening, where God's presence comes and changes a life. From death to life and eternal life. And trust that the Lord comes and just shakes my heart afresh for that. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe that that's God's heart and that it's important to Him? Do you still believe that it's His heart and that it's important to Him? Let's trust the Holy Spirit this morning to speak to us. The next point, point three, is awakening hearts. John 3:16 says the following, "For God so loved the world that in this way, that He what? Gave His one and only Son, so that, please listen up, everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." And so when you walk into Woolies, when you walk into Pick and Pay, when you walk into ShopRite, who's task-orientated here? Who's vision-driven and task-orientated? Edna says when she does have a task. I can help with that, honey. I can honestly help with that. But when you walk in there, does this scripture work on your inside? Does this scripture work in your spirit? For God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus gave us Himself to bridge the gap for us. And He's still doing it, and He's still wanting to do that for everybody out there. It's not a case of, shoo, I'm all right, and now Jesus and I can just relax. No, I said, let us not stand in His way, let us stand with the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us not stand in His way, let's stand with the way. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning and touch your heart so that you can stand with the way and not in the way. So the first point under point three is 3.1, and the word is eternity. How often do you think, by the way, this is an open question, how often do you think about eternity? Often. Nerina thinks about eternity quite often. Who else? Ronaldo Skitokop, Natasha, Jenny, Heather. I don't think about eternity that often, to be honest. Touche, Jenny, but I'm getting on the years myself, so maybe it's something I should start thinking about. Let me be careful in questioning now. But who thinks about eternity, and what do you think about eternity? Amen. Amen. Do you only think about heaven, or do you often think about hell as well? You don't think about hell? Okay, cool. No, I don't think about hell too much either. I'm not into heavy metal. That's a joke. Who thinks of hell ever in their life? But Tasha, is it for someone else? Okay, let's not go down that road. We're in church. But the bottom line is eternity is a massive reality. Yet sometimes my budget, the fuel in my car, my breakthrough, is a much bigger reality than eternity. Even though this is a blip, this is a very short moment, this is a drop in the ocean of time, yet it can be so all-consuming that sometimes we just totally forget about the fact that we are on an eternal path. And not only us, we've got a father, a good, good father, of whom I'm not the only son, even though sometimes I might want to be. Bless you all. But I'm not the only son. Ek kan nie enigste kind syndroom met hom hê nie. I can't have an only child syndrome with him. He's got a heart for all of his kids. And so eternity is important. Beautiful picture. Beautiful, beautiful picture. On Friday night, Noah's Ark at MPS Farm School had a play
for the preschoolers.
Not a farm school, some other school on a farm. Had a play for all the young ones. And so this small hall, big hall, was packed. People were standing and they were all over. How many kids are there in Noah's Ark in total? 80 to 100, all on the stage, because it's difficult. It's like herding cats. It's not easy. And so they've got them all them stacked in certain rows. Opgemaak, weird goeders, weird kleren. And so they were standing there, and they each had their item. Then this row will come forward and that row. But you know what is beautiful? We couldn't see Sophia. She's not the tallest. So it was so difficult to see her. So it was a massive thing to get to see your child, and it's a much bigger task to get your child to see you. And so now, it's all cool people that come up there with their Land Rovers and double cabs and their big cars and some with their smaller cars, like amazing Toyota Etios. Brilliant vehicle. Anyway, by the way, so they get there and they get with their nice cool clothes and their cool shades and their cool everything and with their egos intact, and they go and they find their seat. How's it? Yes. Hey, bro. Hey. All very cool. And they park and they sit and they find a seat. But you know what? They lose all of that egocentric coolness the moment they want to disconnect with that little one. Hey! That woman, you're right. Tanya's out with the camera, and she's just like in front of everybody on the seat. They could not care what anybody next to them think. I was up many times. Sophia's not very tall. It was a mission. She never saw me, but I was keeping on waving. I don't know. Kunrat and them, they sat two rows back from me. They probably thought, yes, sir. But anyway, so then I sit down and then she's like kind of just her eyes is coming to my side, and I'm like, yeah. With the weirdest facial expression, everything, just not caring in the world of the status quo, the culture, whatever. Not saying that we should, please hear my heart. We need to have respect and love for people. But just for that moment that you can lock eyes to say, I'm here. I'm yours and I'm here. And I'm here for you. I'm really not here for the show. Believe you me. It was not that brilliant. It was brilliant, but it was not that brilliant. I'm here for you. I'm here just so that the two of us can lock eyes once. One second, one moment. That's it. So that you can melt and smile, and that I can melt and smile. It was such a picture of God to me. Sorry, it's a bit of a long story, but I kind of enjoyed it. Three of you as well. But it's such a beautiful picture. Imagine your child in that burning building. Imagine your loved one. Imagine your little one in that burning building. Looking out, checking through all the smoke, not seeing the eyes, not catching the eyes. Imagine walking into Woolies and to Checkers and the person behind the counter, that being your child. Imagine walking to the work, that CEO being your son. Imagine on the road, that taxi driver being the son of God. God constantly, through ages, saying, Jesus, ek sien so vir jou. Ek sien vir jou toe kom kyk. Jesus, ek, here I am. I just want to lock eyes with you. Just think of the desperation of a true father. Just think of the love of a good father. A love that he doesn't only have for Stephen, or for me, or for Karen, but that he has for everybody. Just imagine that and asking him and trusting him that he can come and unlock that in our hearts. Why is it important? Why is it important that we have a true picture of eternity? Because God is like this for his children. He's like this to connect with his kids. And we need to trust him that if that's not my heart, then I'm not where he is. I only had eyes for Sophia. With all due respect, let's be honest, I couldn't keep
Simeon het tog 'n paar goeie moves gepool.
And we've got relationship. And then one of two of the kids that I know in the class, but the rest are just faces to me. We need to trust God that His children will not just be faces to us. That when I get onto the road, or when I walk into the Checkers or the Pick and Pay, not to Woolies, sorry, Pietri. Pietri, anyway, let's not go there. We don't have time for that joke. That I will see the kids of the Lord as He sees them. That He will unlock something in my heart that I want to lock eyes, that Christ in me wants to lock eyes with those ones there. That it's not somebody I'm just doing a deal with. That it's not somebody that's just needing to give me papers. It's not somebody that just puts petrol in my car. It's not just somebody I serve even, or vice versa. That eternally, that soul is important. Eternally, that eyes need to lock with the Father as well. Do you know that statistically, apparently, more people believe in heaven than in hell? They did research. More people believe in heaven than in hell. That's pretty convenient, eh? That's like more people believing in being well-fed than being hungry. No, that's just a figment of your imagination. No, that's not your stomach. That's your head. There's two opposites here. And there's two only options, or heaven and hell. And it's important for me and my house, but it needs to be important for me concerning you, your home, your family, your people, but also your neighbors, those who your life touch. Lord, only you can touch our hearts. William Booth said the following. Please listen up closely because we don't have it there. I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. Hopefully this church will not have that problem, Lord. Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance. Quite important. Salvation without regeneration, being different. Politics without God, and heaven without hell. You don't get heaven without hell. It's a reality. John MacArthur said the following: Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive. Sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, hell less horrific, and the gospel less urgent. I'm going to read that again. That's pretty good. John MacArthur says, Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, hell less horrific, and the gospel less urgent. Remember the vision of the building. Remember the dads and the moms shouting and waving, saying, I want to see you. That's just for connection. That's not even for eternal condemnation versus eternal life. Lord, stir our hearts. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, come and stir our hearts. I've shared with many of you, I really have a vision, a heart that God will bring back His gospel fountains, His living Holy Spirit fountains back into places like the UK and Europe, where once there was really revivals, much of it has run dry. And so I was at a meeting and I'm just realizing, Lord, is it just this strong vision? Is it just this beautiful idea I have? Do I actually have a heart for the people? And then I asked somebody just to pray with me, Sias, he's got a heart for people. And I just said, Sias, just pray with me. I just want to check that. And immediately God spoke to me and He just broke me down in tears. And He said, I want my sons back. I want my sons back. Just imagine that. If you've lost your child, if your child is not close, if they're not in your home 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, you haven't seen them, haven't heard of them, would you not be that dad, that mom, that will give you all, that will give you every breath, your every prayer every day to say, I want my sons back. And in that moment, I just realized the heart of God is, and the Spirit of the Lord is in me. He wants His kids back. Yes, He wants to give you breakthrough. Yes, He wants to bless your business. Yes, He wants to do a lot of stuff. But primarily, in eternal pictures, we need to remind ourselves He wants His kids back and He wants them there. Your business is important.
Both Petri and I have shared testimonies for techies. It's important to the Lord, but it's subsequent to a primary dad, a loving father that wants his kids in heaven, that wants to save them from eternal condemnation. So we can be spiritually very smooth. We can do the things, and we can move, and we can know all the cliches, and we can know all the jargon. But Lord, just tug our hearts that what is important for you is also important for us. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. There's people living like that today. Lord, thank you that you help us. So the first E was eternity. The second one is for everything. For everyone. I've already shared this. 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 4 says, this is good and it pleases God and Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Guys, even in politics, our heart goes to certain areas if you look at individuals or at parties or people. And our hearts can very easily get upon the judgment seat saying this and that and the other. Be careful. Because you might see a political leader that you've written off a long time ago. No, I'm not condoning any bad, unrighteous fruit. Hear my heart. I'm just saying I had a dream where God showed me that He wants to do the impossible things. And you might take that individual, take one in your mind that you thought, well, chutz, but he can't. Take that individual. Guess what? God is at a concert. God is in a school hall. And that individual is out there on the stage. God is waving at them as well. That person that you've written off, that person that might have hurt you before, God is waving at them as well. God is shouting out for them as well. So first thing, eternity. Secondly, everyone. Lastly, everything is possible. Ezekiel 36 to 26 says the following. And if I can please ask my ushers just to start thank you. If you guys can just start handing out the elements. Thank you. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says the following. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Who's had that experience? All of you, by the way. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. But as I saw in my dream, God doesn't only want to do it with the people that's my favorite, with people that's culturally fine with me, people that I'm comfortable with, people that's my age, or people that's easy to get along with. He wants everyone to have a moment where they can receive Christ and have that operation, have that place where they're folding over double because the presence of the Lord, because Christ Jesus is connecting and saving their souls and giving them a new heart and spirit. Luke 1 verse 37, you know by heart, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. There's people, just think what has just happened in Zimbabwe. Some people are saying that seemed like an absolute impossibility. And I believe the Lord is in that. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of restoration and rebuilding and healing to be done and redemption, a lot. But what we've also seen is a miracle. Some of your lives, my life definitely, has been something that seemed impossible, but most definitely in God is possible. And here's the last verse that I want you to take home whenever you look at a difficult situation, difficult family member, difficult boss or person working for you, where you see hard hearts. Psalm 97 verse 5, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. Psalm 97, verse 5. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. The mountains, for me, that's the stony hearts of man, melts like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. There's three E's we're taking home today. Firstly, God wants His children back. He gave His Son. He gave us this short thing called life and free will, so that by His grace and through us partnering with Him, through His Word, His Spirit, and His love, that He can have everyone, or as much as deemed possible, His children back with Him for eternity. And there's a lot of space. But He needs our heart, He needs our prayer, and He needs our partnership. The three E's is eternity. Let's remind ourselves daily of eternity. And if you need, if you're scared of it, say, Lord, speak to me about it. If you don't know much about it, say, Lord, speak to me through Your Word about it. Then the second E is He wants everyone to be saved. So you don't have to question when you walk into the shop, when you connect with somebody, when you meet someone. You don't have to think, is this the Lord's will or is this not? It is the Lord's will. It's His child. This is the Lord's will. He wants everybody to be saved. I'm not saying Bible bash them. It might not be the moment. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Hear my heart. Thank you. And then lastly, everything is possible. So eternity is important. He wants everybody to be saved. And everything is possible. I believe that the Holy Spirit still needs to stir some faith here this morning. People in the mother's room. Thanks, guys. I said everyone. No. All good. So those three E's we're going to take home. Eternity. Let's remind ourselves. Let's say, Lord, stir my heart again for eternity. Yes, I want my child to grow up and be a model citizen and have a good job. Or I want my kid to have an eternal perspective, to know, hey, you're a pilgrim. Our children, we got them passports. It's called Explorerboekies. Because we said to them, we're pilgrims. We're moving through this life. God might take us to another country, He might keep us here. He might do whatever He wants, but we're not going to be rooted here alone. We're rooted in heaven. And that's why in faith we got your passports. So that we've got Explorerboekies, that God can travel with us and He can take us wherever He wants to put us in seasons for the sake of the fact that He wants His sons back. Because we will relax one day. We're not going to relax here. Yes, there's peace. Yes, there's blessing. Yes, He provides. Yes, He does a lot of things. Please hear my heart. It's not a works sermon or works mentality that I'm trying to cultivate. It's just saying, Lord, that I'm loose on this earth. I'm a pilgrim. And so our children need to know that they're pilgrims. And yes, we want them to be successful and safe and secure, but in the Lord, in His world, to know the primary need, that when they look to other people, that they realize there's eternal value. And there's an eternal battle that's raging daily around us. What I want us to do is, there's a Jason Upton song there on the desktop. If you can just softly put that on for us. Who's thought of two, three people that you deem maybe even impossible? I say that in inverted commas. That you deem impossible for the Lord to save, as was in my dream. Anybody? Cool. So let's take at least three people. I want you to gather around in groups of three. We're going to take communion. What you know communion is, firstly, bring your own heart for the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to stand before You. So if there's a conviction, you just say, Lord, sorry for whatever the Holy Spirit shows you. And then we lift up these three people in prayer, that the presence of the mighty God will come in and shake their lives. Who would like to put their faith out for the Lord to fill up heaven and save people from hell? I just sense that's the Lord's heart. He's waving, He's shouting, He has His smartphone up to take that photo and picture. He wants to connect with His children. But today we can, as Imran said last week, we can connect in prayer. We can say, Christ died, that blood flowed not just for me and my breakthrough. Not just for my green lawn. Not just for my dog to make it. Not just for my holiday. Can I say Hartenbos? At Hartenbos. Or wherever. He died for all of us and for eternity. And to take that stony hearts and to give these people, we're going to stand in the gap for this morning, new hearts. So please just take a moment, gather, take 3-4 people, because I want us to mention their names. If you don't feel like it, please, by all means, you don't have to. But otherwise, stick together with 2-3 people, and let's just lift them up in prayer as we take communion. Say, Christ died for them, that God's presence can whack them. There's Muslims all over the world that seeing visions of Jesus in dreams and coming to salvation. Yes, He uses us, but sometimes He actually just goes on a bit further and just connects with them directly. But we can birth that in prayer this morning. Amen. Let's take a moment. You can just put on the music for us. Thanks, guys.
God, I love your words begin to grow.
As some of you guys are finishing up, either just in earlier sense, we're just going to proclaim this over the people that we've prayed to. Please finish up as you're praying. Prophecy over the people that we've lifted up today. And we proclaim scripture, we proclaim the truth of the Lord over these people.
I know this is probably a verse that we've often read and it hasn't maybe meant too much to us, but I pray that today the Holy Spirit will just touch your heart and that God will truly touch you through His Word, which is truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Lord, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's eternity.
Lord, we just thank You as we pray and prophesy Your truth over these individuals, over us, our children, but also over these individuals that You've laid on our hearts this morning. God, and then we just say thank You. We need not ask anymore. We say thank You now for the testimonies. We say thank You for the testimonies. And the impossibilities melting like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of all the earth. And we lift up our testimonies, what You've done in all of our lives. Those that were dramatically saved, those that was an ease in, Lord, into Your kingdom. But we lift up all of these testimonies to You. We remind You of these testimonies of our own lives. And we just say, do again, Lord. Do again. Do again. You're the God of multiplication. Just do again, Lord. Do again. Do again in this area. Do again in this school. Do again in this church. Do again in our families. Do again over this Christmas season, Lord. Just do again. Do again. Do again. Because You're a loving Father. Always wanting to connect eyes and heart in eternity with Your sons and daughters. Have Your way in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you for that and thank you for your faith. Thank you for connecting with me in this and what the Spirit has laid on our hearts. Please don't run away. Have some coffee and cake. Remember to high five or give a side hug to Anina. That's just a joke. Sê vir haar geluk met haar verjaarsdag and enjoy your week. God bless.